Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Home Service Pro Podcast. My name is Daniel Felt, and I am your host. And today we have with us Trey Raymond. He is the owner of Scottsdale Desert Inspections out of Scottsdale, Arizona. Trey, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Daniel. Good to be here.
Yeah, for sure. So, Trey, tell us a little bit. You've been doing this for a few minutes. Tell us a little bit about home inspections, how you got into this, how things are going.
So, sure, absolutely. Long story short, Cliff Note version would be, from early 20s, right out of college, went right into corporate America, spent 22 years there roughly in the, it was in the, believe it or not, back then, this is going to be early 80s, there was technology around the world. There was stuff. And what I mean about that was, we were one of the first companies to introduce electronic key card locks to the hotel industry.
Okay.
Which, that was so far long ago, it went from a literal key like your home would have to a card. And so I was in sales in the commercial door and hardware division of Masco Corporation, publicly held. And we went out and did that I worked for three different competitors over those 22 years. And when, of course, we saw things start to change and acquisitions happen and people were working that didn't really know anything about the industry, but they were your boss and you were having to tell them how the industry works. It was just a weird thing. So long story short, figured it was time to strike out and do something on my own. And really how I got into the home inspection was I hired a business broker and we looked at everything, honestly, from Big O Tires, a tire franchise, Subways, the whole thing. When you leave corporate America, you're looking at all these different options. And that led me to start thinking about maybe what I didn't want to deal with, which would be a ton of employees, a bunch of inventory, you know, retail store hours and things like that. Right. It just didn't sound like a good fit. And so we came up, the business broker found a home inspection company that he knew of where, you know, that guy had been doing it 20 years. He'd been doing it a long time and he was just ready for his new thing. And so I fit into that and acquired the company from him in 04,
okay.
Spring of 04, and have run it and operated it since then.
Awesome. Perfect. So you said you didn't want to have to deal with employees, inventory, you know, have you stuck to that with your home inspection company? Have you hired other people to work with you or what does that look like?
So no, not as far as on a payroll, as far as subbing things out, i.e. Like all my termite inspections are done by an affiliate. Most of my pool inspections are done by an affiliate.
Okay.
My radon inspections, that one's done by an affiliate as well.
Sure.
The sewer scope, I just opened two new divisions, sewer scope, and I also got certified for mold, air sampling, and all analysis. So we lined ourselves up with a lab that does all that. It's AI based on the mold part, really, really slick. Reports are really easy to read. That's really important for the consumer.
Right.
And that they actually get what we're trying to let them know. And then on the sewer scope, I just acquired brand new equipment. And those two things really have grown as a market demand. In other words, we're not out there really trying to, you know, wave a flag and say, hey, here's the latest and greatest stuff we can do for you. We've got clients saying, do you guys offer this? Because I think I need this at this house.
Sure.
And so it's interesting to see the shift in people's needs and wants.
Yep.
You know, back in the day, we didn't even take credit cards when I bought the company.
Yep.
It had a little real chintzy little website that was just barely creaking along.
Yep.
And so to see it grow that's a cool part of it. I hope I answered your question. No, I really don't have any direct employees.
Yeah. But yeah, it's always interesting to see how people in the home service industry are growing their businesses. You know, do you have is it 1099? Are you W-2? Are you just referring it out? You know, is it affiliates? Like, what does it all look like? And I think it's important for people to know that there are a lot of different opportunities to have a business that is beyond just you. You know, you don't have to do everything for everyone. You can have other people that you trust. And yeah, maybe you don't make as much as you would have if you were doing it yourself, or maybe you do. Maybe you do make more. You know, you never know until you kind of get through that. But to your point with technology and websites and people and their demands, you know, or what they're asking for, it's really nice to be able to pivot. And if you have a trusted partner that you can send out to get that job done, it's all great. So yeah, I think
I agree.
Yeah, the average homeowner is changing, and it's changing fast. And what people know about homes is changing very fast. I'm 35 years old.
Okay.
People my age are not very smart when it comes to homeownership. They're just not. You know, I mean, that's just where it is. And they just don't know what they don't know. And to have trusted people out there is very, very important for them. I mean, that's one reason why we started our company of the, you know, just coming in and doing all this routine reoccurring maintenance items, because people were just stopped doing them. And houses are becoming more complex. I'm sure you've seen, Trey, like all of a sudden dishwashers have filters and washing machines have filters and all this stuff that's coming up. It's just becoming more complex, and houses are becoming more energy efficient, which is great. But with that comes complexities. So
very much so, like dampers and AC systems that are electronically activated. And like you said, filters. And our home here is newer, and I'm not sure why or how I'm ever going to use it, but like the oven and the dishwasher, you can Wi-Fi them. And
yeah,
I mean, it's really a cool thought. We're trying to come up with a way to check it out and make it work, you know, and see how is that applicable. But yeah, everything is just super, super high tech now, no matter what you've got.
Right.
It's amazing.
I could see the oven, you know, like maybe you're making something like an egg bake or something that takes, you know, you're at an event, you're at church, you want the egg bake. But like, my stove, I'd say, is in between like yours of having Wi-Fi and a quote unquote dumb stove, where you can like set a timer, you know, hey, I want you to start at this time. So, but when we get home, the egg bake is ready, and maybe you could control that via Wi-Fi, which would be great. I don't know if I understand the microwave, because that's just, you just don't want to get off the couch to rewarm up your coffee or something. Who knows? Who knows what that?
I'm not sure either.
Yeah, when you find out a use for that, you let me know. Sometimes people are just adding features maybe to up the price on the appliances. So
I'll keep you posted. How's that?
Yeah, sounds good. Trey, what are you seeing?
Even like the garage door openers. Like I just downloaded MyQ on my phone.
Yeah.
And you know, just this week, it's kind of a funny story. Long story short. I've got one of our vehicles in for service, and I forgot to get the so it has SmartLink to open the garage. So all of a sudden I pull up with the rental car and I'm like, how do I get in my garage? Yeah. Oh yeah, I've got MyQ. So I go on my app and just open it from my phone. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's a lot of usefulness in all the technology out there for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Is there anything that you've seen in your time of inspecting homes that you would say is like a negative in the changes that have come from, like, maybe it be energy efficiencies or codes that have gone into place for houses? Like, what are some of the negatives that you've seen? And on the flip side, what are some of the positives?
That's a great, great question. I would have to say I'd have to say the positive. At first I thought it was a negative, but like homes inspection and some of the YouTubers and reality shows out there, I think at first what they wound up doing, unfortunately for the consumer, is they kind of wound up setting the consumer up for unreal expectations from a home inspection.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You have people coming through after the fact and saying, well, that inspector missed this and he missed that. But what you see on TV are things way beyond what a home inspector is even allowed to do.
Sure.
We're not allowed to cut open drywall, Daniel, and look into walls. And it's just, that was kind of unfortunate to see. But it also equipped the homeowner with, you know, now they've got more knowledge. So when they hire your services, they've got some good directives they want you to follow for them.
Yep.
Like, hey, I heard this. What do you think about this? How should we manage that? How should that work? And so I made it, I think that has made the average homeowner and home buyer more intelligent and not so caught off guard by a home and its requirements. And they're more realistic now too, I think. They're, you know, part of my little speech to my clients is, hey, you're buying a 50, 60 year old home.
Yep.
I've looked at everything I can for you, and I want you to get in the mindset of just expect things to go wrong.
Sure.
It's a home. It's kind of complex. Mm-hmm. Just like your car is going to blow a water pump one day or something of that nature. Your home's going to need to have things done to it. And you just have to kind of lean into that as a homeowner and you know, address the things as they come up.
For sure. I'm curious to know, Trey, too, how you've handled the changes that have come. I feel like since like 2020, or maybe it was early 2021, I feel like the home inspection industry has just gone through the ringer. Like what have you experienced through that? Like, have you been okay? Like, what have you depended on? How have you pivoted to kind of go through not only like with people, you know, it seemed like here, at least here in Minnesota, a lot of people were just bypassing home inspections and then, you know, to try to get the offer. And then interest rates skyrocketed, which put a screeching halt to the home service, you know, industry. People were not, houses are no longer transacting. And that impacts so many different people, you know, because now no one's painting their houses. They're not redoing floors. They're not doing add-ons. They're not improving the value of their home to get it sort of ready to be, you know, flowing, you know, changing hands. So what,
right.
How has that gone for you? Like what's going on in your market in Scottsdale there? And what have you done to kind of overcome those challenges?
Yeah. So that's a really, really great thing that you're addressing. So COVID hits, people are locked down. Arizona was one of the loosest states. I thought we handled it pretty good.
Yeah.
As far as the state, but yeah, to get right to it, man, we went, I looked at the stats. I run a virtual back office called ISN that a lot of inspectors use, and it is stat crazy. So you can look in to, well, how did 2019 compare to 2020, yada, yada, yada.
Sure.
And long story short, 20 through 23, our business was off about 60%.
Okay.
That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Just huge. So, you know, you wind up with really having to try to get savvy on social media, which I'm not there, and
sure.
But working on it.
Yep.
And getting back out to the realtor meetings and getting face to face and meeting new realtors. As opposed to just relying on your old realtor pool. Like we had to really start to try to pump it up just to get through it. 2024 has been better in terms of traffic, in terms of inspection bookings. I think some of that had to do with the person I hired for my Google Analytics and all that fun stuff.
Yep.
He's been working at that for 2 years.
Okay.
And it's starting to get some traction. So yep. When I look at like how many hits I've gotten and things of that nature, that's helped quite a bit. On any given week, I'll probably do 3 to 5 inspections that are just, they just found us on Google.
Sure.
And we stepped up the, rather than waiting on the traditional sale of a house to happen before we inspect, Daniel, we stepped up the 1 year warranty.
Okay.
And the new construction inspection.
Okay.
So we're going out during framing process, and then we're going out, you know, after the house is getting ready to go out of warranty, and giving it a checkup and letting the homeowner know, here's where you're at. Here's where you should submit to the builder to mm-hmm. have serviced before you go out of warranty. And
right.
Those have been more popular than ever.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you didn't have to change your skill set. You just had to slightly change your offerings to keep your schedule full and yeah, like the SEO game is important too, of course, you know, what you've got going on there.
The only skill set I had to pick up recently, which I'm really glad I did, again, it was market demand, mm-hmm. was mold certification. And yep. then the sewer scope is something that there is more technical and technology to it than one would think initially. So, you know, you don't want to go out and lose a, you know, $500 camera head your first time out. So, you know, there's some training to do that and walk away with your equipment intact.
Right.
So, yeah, those are some skill sets we had to pick up, and they were frankly pretty easy to grasp.
Sure. Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize how expensive equipment is, like a sewer scope. I mean, I think the everyday consumer would assume it's a $400 to $500 machine, you know, just like, what's the big deal? And it's like, oh, no way. So yeah, that's, they're very expensive. We did, you know, we did bite the bullet and we got a really expensive scope for dryer vents, air duct cleaning here, just to see what's going on. And it paid for itself so fast. We one time, it actually saved our butt one time, because we had a HVAC company say we didn't do a good job.
Really?
And like, what? To, like, to the homeowner. You know, they came out like 6 months later, like, oh, that company didn't do a good job. And we're like, we'll come out. Like, we'll come out and check it out, and let's look at all the vents. We'll scope them. If we need to re-clean anything, we'll, you know, like, we'll, we try to be great, but if we made a mistake, we'll own up to it. And we end up, we're scoping the entire thing. It's clean. You know, and this even 6 months later, which, you know, you would expect to see a little bit of dust in there. And then it came to figure out that the company who installed the ductwork at a certain spot, which we couldn't tell when we were cleaning it, but at a certain point, they didn't attach the ductwork. And so what had happened is, at some point after we cleaned, insulation, you know, it separated and insulation just fell into the trunk line. So insulation was building up in the furnace. And so we scope it and we're like, look, here it is, you know, like 18.3 feet in, this is an issue in your trunk line. The company, so the homeowner like calls the HVAC company back and they couldn't find it. So we had to come back out, and now we're standing there with the HVAC company who's saying we're doing a shoddy job. And we're like, look, here's where the trunk line came apart that you installed. This needs to be fixed, and turned into a whole like little mini remodel of taking the drywall down and redoing it. So having a scope has been very beneficial for us when, you know, anytime like you have a clog or anything like that, it's been really nice to have that. So
that's a prime example. And that's a funny story about, ironically, I guess it's funny because you're what you do, as opposed to, you know, a licensed HVAC technician,
right.
You think that they would be able to pick up where the duct was disconnected. And here you guys are going, no, it's right here.
Yeah. You know, the interesting thing about it, Trey, is there's 2,800 licensed HVAC companies in the state of Minnesota. And I'm sure most states have very similar amounts. And a lot of them are really great. But like, unfortunately, there's some that have like, you know, a tech in training or whatever, that they're sending these guys out. But sometimes it's easy, just no matter what your training is, you know, sometimes people weren't trained on like decency, you know, human decency. And these guys come out, and the easy thing to do is say like, oh, I see this sticker on the furnace, or I see this builder did it, or whatever. And it's just easier to blame them rather than doing like one step farther into the investigation of what's actually going on for the job. And yeah, absolutely. That's where, like, you know, what's your integrity? Like, who are you as a company is what's really important. And I've trained my guys in, like, I don't care how tempting it is, we never badmouth anyone. Like, you know, like the worst thing you can say is, I'm not sure why they did it that way. I would have done it differently. That's, you know, you can be honest with the homeowner. I would have done it differently, but you can't say like, yeah, I see shoddy work from that company all the time or what. Like, you don't say that stuff because it reflects poorly on you. So yeah, that's super important. I'm sure as a home inspector, you have unlimited opportunities to potentially badmouth certain things. But for you, you kind of have to deliver, you know, kind of like unbiased, hey, this is what it is. Like, here's what I'm seeing, and it's not up to code, or it's not the way it's supposed to be.
Yes. Yeah. I agree with you 100%. You can't bash anybody because, not only does it, it's not a good, it's the optics aren't good on it, you know?
Right.
And also, you know, you don't want to get into litigation over something either.
Yeah, for sure. So Trey, like, what does the future look like for you? Are you going to continue, you know, kind of building it, adding skill sets as the company, you know, as like the, consumer demands, or like, you know, what do the next couple of years look like for your company?
I see the next couple of years probably improving in terms of just the sheer number of inspections due to, I think market conditions are going to calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
I personally feel that psychologically when the Fed lowers rates, which I feel strongly that is going to happen in September. Mm-hmm. It's almost kind of like not the physical amount of money saved, it's psychological for people to jump back in, mm-hmm. get off the dance, the grandstands, and jump back onto the field.
Yep.
If that makes sense. And I think when you see that, we're going to start to pick up here seasonally, probably like you guys in Minnesota. I mean, when we get into the winter months, which, it starts in October, physically, there's just way more people here. So the buying goes up just from that perspective too.
Right, right.
But the next couple of years out, I feel pretty good about them. I feel really good looking back over my shoulder in comparison to how the last 3 years were. They were brutal. I think a lot of my peers got out of the industry.
Yep.
With the more profits that we're getting now, with the added services, our average inspection, if you look at just the cost of it, we average out, termite, no termite, pool, no pool, et cetera, et cetera. I think we're averaging like $490 to $550. It's gone up now to our average, like our average inspection is we're around $890 to $1,100.
Sure.
So it's a pretty good jump.
Yeah.
Sometimes that plays into your favor too, because you don't have to touch as many houses per year, mm-hmm. for your profits to increase. So if you're not touching as many houses, frankly, your liability goes down.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, 100%.
So, if you can get that flow to be like that, that's actually a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if we end up growing and I need another inspector, what I can see happening there is just 1099-ing another inspector. And when he goes out on jobs, he would get, they would be like a 60-40 split as an example.
Sure.
Like I'm creating the business for him. He's doing the tasks. So, yeah. I would take 40, he'd get 60, and
yeah,
we meet market demand of inspection needs that way too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. There's a lot of people that are very afraid to increase their pricing due to the thought of like losing customers. And I've ran the numbers several times and like saw, quite a few videos on this and watched it, which has boosted my confidence by running the numbers. But let's say you increase your pricing like 5%. Like a lot of people think like, oh, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But because of the fact that so many other costs don't go up, the way that your income flows through your P&L and when it hits your bottom line, yeah, you can afford to lose so many clients at the top line when you increase by 5%, because it makes up for so many things and you're significantly more profitable. And if you're running a business and you don't have profit at the end of the year, like you would have been better off working at McDonald's. So like, was it even worth it? So that's where you're definitely right. Like it's way better to inspect fewer homes and have better profit margins than just to be doing the job, just to do the job. And you're not even making enough to cover yeah. some of your basic costs.
Well, yeah, exactly. And, firms like yours and, firms like mine, the inflation factor too, even if you look at one subject for you and I, fuel,
mm-hmm.
That here in Arizona, I think we're like the second or third highest per gallon cost of any state.
Right.
Like we're right up there close to Hawaii and California, which is brutal.
Right.
So, the fuel costs, I bumped my stuff up just on a normal inspection. I bumped it up $15, $20 an inspection just to not even, it's just to cover the fuel.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not affected luckily by too much else. Auto insurance did go up though, things like that. When you see everything else from fuel to groceries that have gone up 15-20%, and if you bring it up 5 or 8%, you don't look like you're gouging or taking
advantage. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, we've slowly over the years increased our pricing on everything just a little bit at a time. We I think we were at one point at like $18.99 per vent to clean air ducts, and then it was $21.99, and then we were $24.99, and now we're at $29.99 per vent to clean air ducts, and people still keep booking. But same time, if I look at my grocery bill for myself, my family, it's probably gone up in almost identical increments. You know, it just like you have to do that in order to, and it sucks. You don't want to do it. There's a fear for sure. Like, what if I increase my pricing and people stop scheduling? But if you're tracking all of it and you measure it, you know, you can always give a discount. Like, you know, we are offering a discount if you schedule by the end of the week or, you know, things like that. So
sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Worst case scenario. Yeah. Give a discount. But we're, everyone on my team, they're always very, very hesitant to increase their pricing. I'm like, guys, worst case scenario, we send out a promotion for, you know, 50, 75 bucks off. But what that did for us, when we are at, we've always had like a 15 vent minimum to basically come and set up all our equipment. So if you have less than that, the price is the price. And that 15 vent minimum was like, I think it was $299 when we were, you know, operating in 2016, 2017. And now I believe we're at like $450, you know, so just our minimum job cost is that much different. So
really,
yeah, it's amazing, you know, increasing your pricing in the home service industry. I know it can be very scary, you know, especially if like things are slowing. And I think across the nation, like I'm very lucky. I get to talk to a lot of people all across the country that are in the home service industry. And it's kind of been like a stale period. You know, it's like things are not super sexy. So most people seem fine, you know, and maybe they won't even say it if they weren't fine, but most people are at least fine, but it's been stale. And especially during a stale period, you're not, it's very, you know, not your you have to go against your natural instinct by increasing your pricing, but you do have to continue to do that, especially if you're bringing the value. Now, if you're doing shoddy work, you know, yeah, then you probably shouldn't be doing that. But if you're bringing value and you've got good employees or good people, good subs, good affiliates that you're working with, you know, and you can bring that value, it's worth it. So
totally worth it. Let me ask you a question. Do you adjust your prices? I'm just assuming Minnesota home services is pretty seasonal. I mean, is your slowest time of any given fiscal year the winter?
Yeah. So
do you adjust your prices down and up with a level of activity?
You know, I think some company, I think if you're doing larger projects, like if you were a general contractor, I think they are doing certain things to stay busy. We are really fortunate, Trey, to have 850 clients that are set up on a reoccurring routine maintenance visit. And so we visit their homes every 3 months. And so our worst case scenario, we're doubling up our technicians on crews in the winter so we don't have to lay them off. But what's really crazy about the air duct cleaning is for every season, which in Minnesota, we have four very distinct seasons. For every season, a new consumer comes out of the woodwork saying why they believe that's the best season to clean their air ducts. So in the summer, it's, you know, to help the AC unit run more efficiently. In the fall, it's to get the dust out of it so that it can run efficiently for the winter. In the winter, they're saying, I don't want my furnace to have to work so hard. I see it's going to be like 20 below next week, so I need my air ducts clean so I can run. And the spring is to get rid of allergies. And it just like, so this a different consumer for a different reason comes out of the woodwork for air duct cleaning. But for the routine maintenance, I don't care when you sign up, because we're just going to come to your house every 3 months. And that was one reason why I was in a more seasonal business. I was helping my brother's company cleaning windows and putting up holiday lights. But every single year, Q1, there was nothing going on. Like the phone did not ring. If the phone rang in January, February, you pretty much knew it was like a scam call, because it was no way was it someone wanting anything done. I mean, it was just crazy. So that's why I started this company, was because I wanted more consistency through the extreme seasonality that Minnesota does bring. But yeah, a lot of people are laid off. Like a lot of people are laid off in the winter and in the trades. And then they, a lot of them pivot, you know, they'll have like a different business but a lot of guys just go on ice fish all winter long. Yeah, there's a lot of people in construction and things like that, but yeah, there is an opportunity for us. We keep our same pricing and we stay pretty consistent all the time, but we're playing so many games, Trey. We're playing the SEO game. We're really big on social media. Like we post like crazy. It works so well for us. We started a social media management company and we're running social media for like 30 other people now. and we are really big into networking. So we run a little bit of ads, like a grand or two a month between Facebook and Google. So we're playing all these little games that kind of like all build a base of like one way or another, you're going to hear about us. But referral partners have been very, very impactful for us of building solid relationships. When they do refer you, you do a really great job for their customers. You want them to look really, really good. And one of the best tips of advice I've ever gotten, the best nugget, is if someone refers you to a client, you know, especially in the residential space, if you go out and do a good job and the person is like singing your praises, like, oh my gosh, you're so great. Hey, if you think I did a really good job, would you leave, you know, Joe's Plumbing, whoever referred you, would you leave Joe a 5-star review since he referred us? And if that company gets a 5-star review because they referred you, like, they are going to be referral partners for you for life. Like, hey, HVAC company referred Kira Home and we're leaving a 5-star review because Kira Home did such a great job. Like, you got a referral partner for life. It's like that psychological playing those like little games have worked really, really well for us to really just give back, do a really great job, and then stay in communication. We track every single lead, and that's been really helpful for us too, to see where these leads are coming in, touch base with people, send them a thank you note, send an email or something, just touch base that, you know, we appreciate the work coming in.
That's brilliant. I really like that angle. You make them look like heroes.
Yeah.
And boy, you talk about locking in a loyal referral at that point.
Yeah, for sure.
That makes all kinds of sense.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It's tricky to get the consumer to do it, but like they realize that like you're where your mindset is. Like, I really appreciate you using us. We appreciate, yep, we know who, you know, Joe's HVAC or Joe's Plumbing. We know those guys. They do great work. We appreciate you, you know, trusting their referral, and we hope we did a really great job for you. You know, if you think we did a great job, would you leave those guys a 5-star review just for even introducing us? And it's like, oh yeah, sure. Happy to do that. So yeah, it's these little psychological games that you can play that, like, you know, if you think about it pretty deep, you're like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So.
Yeah. And then you got so good at it that you actually opened a division that does that for other companies. Like you had mentioned earlier in the SEO and the whole part of it.
Yeah. For social media. So all these things fall in my lap and then it turns into a business. So I've got like too many companies now, but we were doing social media for Kira Home, went really well. We got to, you know, thousands. We're like 37,000 followers on Instagram now. Like, it really built, and it got to the point where each day when we're answering the phones, we were having $1,000 to $2,000 worth of work scheduling saying, we heard about you on social media. And, you know, it'd be like on Instagram where we're not even running any ads, so that the organic efforts are working.
That's great. Then,
yeah. So we're selling licenses then to people. We've sold 8 licenses to different people across the country, and they're operating our same business model. And we coach them. We meet with them once a week. And the one guy is like, I don't like doing social media. I'm like, you really got to do it. It's really important. Like, the average American is spending 2 hours and 32 minutes a day on social media. That blows my mind, but they are. And
wow,
so
that's a shocker.
Yeah. And like, search platforms like Google are using, they're scanning these websites to see, you know, are you here? Are you active? Are you posting? So that, for that guy, he's like, can you just do it for me? I'm like, yeah, sure. Well, then, so we started doing it for him. And like a month or two later, a plumber called me. He's like, hey, I really like your guys' social media. Can you do it for me? I'm like, sure. And then a dentist called, and all of a sudden it took off fast. We got to 30 clients really, really fast. And so what we do for a client, we post on 8 different social media platforms. Where you really need to be posting is your Google business profile. There's so many people that are not doing that, especially in the home service industry. And the Google has taken a big emphasis from all, like, how important and rich your website is. And they're putting more of an emphasis of what's actually on your Google business profile. And that's one thing that a lot of people just aren't updating on a regular basis. So
could you throw a bone out there as far as like an example of, on the Google business profile, what tweaks does Google like to see you make on that?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things is you're frequently updating. So what you should be doing, Trey, and everyone listening, is every time you go out to a job, you should be taking a photo of it and putting it on Google Business and saying, hey, we did a home inspection in this city today. Everything looked good on, you know, this Rambler or whatever style home it is. So you're using some of these keywords that, you know, we did a sewer inspection in this city on this style of home, a new build, or we did a, you know, a one-year warranty check on this home. So you start using this keyword rich. And plus, Google knows where that photo is geotagged. And so you're building a trusted relationship with Google. Besides that, besides those daily updates, that'd be the number one most important thing. Besides that, just going in and educating, like using all of the characters possible to do it. And I haven't used all the characters, but we write a ton of stuff. And we write things that people are actually searching for. So like, if you're looking for the best air duct cleaning company near me in Golden Valley, Minnesota, you know, we're here we are, you know, so we're using like words that people, we're telling Google, here's what we do. Because Google, what Google really wants to do, they want users using their platform as much as possible. So they want to give their users a good experience. So how do you build that trusted relationship with Google so that they know, okay, we have a user and we trust you enough that we're going to connect the two of you by putting your website up higher, by showing that user your website. So it's all about building trust. And if you never use Google's platform, they're just not going to trust you as much. If you come in once a year and update your Google business listing, they're like, I don't know, you don't check in very often here. Where if you're there every single day updating Google, here I am and here's where I was and here's what I did. And you just keep on telling that. We update our Google business profile like 10 to 20 times a day. Like
really?
Yep. We're wow. Every single one of my technicians takes a job and takes a photo through our app, and that geotags the photo. So it puts the photo on Google Maps. It puts it on our Google business profile, and that picture then ends up on our website too. So when Google crawls our website, they're seeing this photo and they see that it was geotagged on Google Maps. It's been a game changer for us. Our geo grid, the way that we rank like per keyword per in that area, has significantly increased. It's this crazy little game. It's a game of consistency. It's not like a one time, like post one photo and be done. It's like posting all the time, very, very consistently. And Google has released a ton of updates in the spring of 2024 that they want you to be using their profile. And they've put there, I've seen guys who they were killing in the SEO game, and all of a sudden their rankings are going down. They didn't realize why. And it's because their Google business profile was just blah. So Google is putting, they're making changes to really want you to put an emphasis on that. I think SEO is still crazy important. Don't fire your SEO guy. And if you're an SEO guy, don't get mad at me here. SEO is still crazy important, but now other things are coming up to be as important as well when it comes to Google and those games that you got to play.
So you just gave me a total nugget with that. I'm going to get all over that and try to emulate what you guys are doing. I appreciate you giving me the heads up on that. That means a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to get all over that because wow, I've been negligent. Let me ask you something else that my website designer wanted me to do. And I've done them. I've posted them, because social media is just that moving target. It's constantly moving. You've got to track it all the time. Are blogs even anything that's even relevant anymore?
You know, I think so. I think a blog in a way of telling, you know, Google what you want. If you're going in and you're doing all the stuff of, you know, the H1 and the H2 headers, you know, you got to be doing some of those things, you know, telling Google what you're doing. So it is showing SEO that you're a subject matter expert, but it's also a way to get, you know, answering a frequently asked question, you know, is really important, Trey. And what we've done with that is, we actually have people answering frequently asked questions in a video format. And so rather than writing a blog now, I do spend a lot more time where like once or twice a year, I'll sit down in like a podcast style studio or in front of a videographer, and I'll ask ChatGPT or Google or answerthepublic.com to give me like 50 to 75 frequently asked questions about this. And then I just say those, I just answer that in my own words. So when's the best time of year to have your air ducts cleaned? That's a great question. We found that, and I answer that in like a 30 to 45 second snippet. Cause that's what almost everything on social media now is, these short films, these reels. And so we're using that, those videos as a way, but then we're also putting that video on YouTube, which is the second most used search engine, which is owned by Google. So so we're telling Google, hey, you know, here's, again, we're the subject matter expert. I'm answering these questions for you. And so we are putting that stuff on there. One thing that I'm actually diving deep into right now is figuring out how to put those videos on your website and use them as if they were a blog to basically tell Google, look at this photo that's on, look at the video that's on my website showing that we're the subject matter expert. It's not just a blog or a photo. So I think blogs still are important. I think they will be for a long time in a form of context. Like, you don't want to just have nothing on your website. Right. I'm also not like super from an SEO. I'm not like, someone could correct me. I'm not the expert in the room on it. I just know what's worked well for us. And we do have a lot of blogs on our website, but they're completely pointless if you're not telling Google what it is by changing, you know, having the H1, the H2 header and doing all the things that, you know, telling Google what it is. And unfortunately you can't, what I've learned is if you use ChatGPT to try to write those blogs, they don't perform nearly as well, and they can actually hurt your SEO score. So it is pretty important to actually manually write those blogs out and type them up.
Yeah, that much. I didn't get schooled on that, luckily, but that much I learned, you know, like, you don't want to copy and paste or AI this thing at all. It's got to be from the heart, or the systems are so intelligent. They'll just say, yeah, we're calling BS on that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. They'll call you out for sure. Yeah. Yeah. So
exactly.
Yeah. It's definitely an ever changing world out there, and it's, you know, technology is, you got to keep up with it. And, you know, Trey, you mentioned, you know, pulling this all full circle in the very beginning, you were installing key cards for hotel rooms, and some people listening to this can't even imagine a world without that. So now I think you can even open up a lot of hotel rooms with the app on your phone. So, yeah, the world is changing very quickly. So, well, Trey, I want to say thank you very much for jumping on the podcast here. If people are wanting to get a hold of you, you can be reached at Scottsdale Desert Inspections.com, obviously out of Scottsdale, Arizona. Is there any other ways that people should connect with you?
Sure. My phone number is everything number. So text, email, literal phone call, all of the above, at 480-345-9200.
Perfect. Sounds good. Well, that is Trey Raymond. Thank you again for being a guest on the Home Service Pro podcast. We'll catch you next time.
Okay, Daniel, thanks for the opportunity. Have a great day.
You bet.